Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ's, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ's, even so are we Christ's. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such an one think this, that such as we are in word by letters, when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number nor compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. May God add his blessing to the reading, to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so we have a fascinating chapter here where the apostle begins to speak to the Corinthians, if I might say, a little bit more directly, and yet he characterizes it as meekness and gentleness at the beginning of the chapter. Did you hear him say that? By the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Now you might read the balance of the chapter and say, well, it doesn't sound very meek and it doesn't sound very gentle. He does speak about authority that he has and using that authority and actually using it with boldness when he comes before them the next time. And yet, may I say to you that that is still meek and gentle, because those things have not quite yet become necessary. It's an interesting thing to think about, that the Apostle Paul would rather handle this in such a way where everyone can remain with strong affinity toward another without potentially an estrangement that would be brought up by a particular and necessary boldness on his part. There is some really good example in that for us all. There are times when it becomes necessary for us to speak to one another because we love each other, about deficiencies that we have noticed, ourselves coming with great humility, knowing our own weaknesses and deficiencies as well. And yet, note that when we begin talking to ourselves about how we're going to go about this thing that may be difficult but necessary, notice that we must figure out a way to come with meekness and gentleness and not simply to throw out those cannons as the first salvo. We want, if I can put it perhaps in military terms, rather than to let our first ambassage be a bomb or a cannonball, that our first ambassage is really some of the most gentle and soft-spoken among us to try to win one another to what is right, rather than to press or bludgeon one another into what is right. This is an important point, often lost among Christians. We live in a day where that which is acerbic is that which is respected. That which is insulting is that which is respected. That which is sharp-witted, and by sharp-witted I mean a cutting wit, is that which is respected. These ought to be the most disrespected instead. The way of our Lord Jesus Christ with his disciples was as gentle and kind as he brought them along those 3 years. The wisdom of Christ, as it is seen here in the Apostle Paul, begins with meekness and gentleness. The meekness and gentleness of Christ. And so there is that requirement on the part of those who would have that responsibility toward others. There is a converse responsibility on those who hear. Receive those corrections when they are done with meekness and gentleness, lest meekness and gentleness do not prove enough. And whenever we see an escalation, scripturally speaking, it is because those who ought to have received those early meek and gentle corrections did not receive them. So there is something to be said there for both parties. And Paul is trying, he is making a strong pastoral attempt to understand that he is approaching them now by way of meekness and gentleness so that later it doesn't have to be by way of a stronger boldness that will carry with it a greater amount of discomfort and a greater risk of estrangement and alienation. It's always best to win with gentleness if you can. And so this is the first section, the first point that the apostle makes here. Then he takes a page from his detractors. Did you hear him do that? He takes a page from his detractors, even perhaps echoing some of the things that they have said, being base among you when in presence, but being absent and bold toward you. Right? Perhaps the mantra of those who were disrespecting Paul in Corinth. And so the first thing that we want to say there is, you know what? We ought to be careful how we speak. We ought to be careful how we speak about others. Because what is whispered in the ear may soon be broadcast from the housetops. It may be that those folks that were in Corinth that spoke that way of the Apostle Paul thought they were safe in so saying that it would never get back to the Apostle. And yet here it is repeated back to them in a letter. So let us be careful how we speak concerning one another. And let us also be most careful to speak directly to the party to whom we might have something to say rather than triangulating. At least, right? Sometimes it's much more than a triangle. It's a quadrangle, a pentangle, a hexangle, a septangle, and so on and so forth. I know I've just butchered the geometric language. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. You get my point. Don't bring others in if you have something to say about someone. Don't bring others into that conversation. Those folks that had a problem with the apostle should have written an epistle to the apostle. They should have spoken to him. But instead, what did they do? They discouraged others with their ill speech. Bad mojo, we say, right? That's very, very bad behavior, discouraging others from following that apostle. All right, so then he uses this as a bit of a parenthesis. I know that this is one of those times where there is this parenthesis that we often want to focus upon because it is so very important. But it comes within the context, before and behind, of how we speak to one another and how we respect the officers of the church, the ministers of the gospel, the apostles of Jesus Christ in that order. And so, notice he says that the weapons of our warfare, they speak to us like as if we warred after the flesh. And of course, they're going to go on to say a little bit later, well, you know, that guy Paul, he's ill-equipped to war after the flesh. I mean, have you seen him? Have you heard him? He's pretty ill-equipped to war in that way. He's not going to win any debates on his looks or on his delivery, in other words. He's not going to win like that. Right? And in a day where we can understand what that means, can't we? In a day when it really doesn't matter what people say, it matters how they look and how well polished they are and so on. It doesn't, you know, the substance of what they say doesn't matter at all. And so he says they're treating us as if we warred after the flesh, but we don't war after the flesh. Here's how we war. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What strongholds? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's how we war, Paul says. That's how we make war. We make war upon our own minds with the Word of God. We make war upon our own carnal thinking with the Word of God. We make war upon that fallenness in our thought with which we come into this world by saturating our minds with Scripture and replacing evil thought with Bible thought. Bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Let's remember what that standard is. And let us be humbled and bewail our lack of biblical thought. And bewail our continuance in carnal thought. And how far, truly, we have to go. Every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And then notice also in verse 6, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, when your obedience is fulfilled. And what the apostle says there is that on the way to fulfilling your obedience, we will revenge your disobedience. We have an office among you, Corinthians. You can say we don't. You can minimize that office. He's going to go on even to say that we've reached all the way to you, haven't we? All the way to you. He'll go on in this book to say, if others have this over you, so I far more, I have begotten you to Christ Jesus. In other words, as the founding minister of that church, as the apostle that traveled to Corinth, that spent 18 months there, that suffered and was persecuted in that context for them and with them. He said, if others have this power over you, I far more, our preaching, our gospel work has reached even unto you, he says. So you can't just say, we're done with the Apostle Paul. We have other teachers now. Corinthians, you can't just say that, Paul says. Our power reaches even unto you. Our office, our authority in Christ, it reaches all the way to you. You can't be rid of me that easily. because of the meekness and gentleness in Christ that I have for you and the desire that I have to revenge all disobedience on the way to your full obedience. And so notice how Paul perseveres in the face of much discouragement and difficulty to acquit his office before Christ. And that is indeed how the chapter ends. Before it gets there, however, he says, we'll not boast of where other men have labored. And this is that special propriety that he's talking about with the Corinthians. He says, I don't speak to other churches like this where others of the apostles have labored. But I am speaking to you like this, Corinthians. And I'm speaking to you like this because I have a special relationship to you. I was there at the beginning. Do you remember? We labored together. You cannot cast me off so quickly. There's something that is proper and right here. So as we wrap up the chapter then, notice what he says in verses 17 and 18. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. And so the chapter ends with, but I want you to remember, Corinthians, that this work that I do in your midst, I do before Christ. If I was to, or let's put it in the English subjunctive, if I were to retreat from that work that I owe unto you, then I would not be commended by Christ. That would be against what he has called me to do, to continue following up with those churches in which I've been instrumental in their founding. And so then we have the great heart of the apostle, not only for the Corinthians in meekness and in kindness, in gentleness, but also the great heart of the apostle desiring for them all their obedience and taking it on the chin, if you will, in order so that that obedience might advance. And then finally, the capstone that he puts on the top of all of it is that he's doing so to remain commendable to Christ, that he would fulfill that office that Christ has given to him. So then, that is the sum of the chapter. And that parenthesis there in verse 4 about the bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ in verses 4 and 5, those two verses simply point to what it means then for the apostle to continue in those labors even in the face of such difficulty. We don't war after the flesh, he says. You can insult my appearance all you want. You can insult my delivery all you want. But what you can't insult is that the weapons of our warfare are making war in your minds for the casting down of strongholds and the bringing every thought captive to Christ. All right, so we might close then with remembering that. We come into this world with what kind of mindset? What's one of the first words your children have learned, parents, as you've watched them grow? I don't say the first word because normally they spend all their time with their mother, but their first words are dada, and I don't get that either. Okay? I don't get that either. However, one of the other words that they learn first is what? Mine. Right? We know very, very early what we think is mine. We come into this world how? Carnal. We come into this world with a mind that we think is mine. This passage tells us not even our minds belong to us. They belong to Christ. Have you given him your mind? Have you said to the Lord, Lord, change my thinking. Renew my mind. Help me to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Help me, if we can put it in a different context, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed according to the renewal of our minds by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, by Jesus Christ and His means. Your minds are not your own, but belong to your faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, well, let's leave it there.